Happy New Year, Bloys and Erith are, to all our Bridge Church listeners.
Bless you.
Well, got to do it bilingual for the first one of the new year. Welcome to the first Bridge in the Gap podcast of 2022. I can't believe we're in 2022. I was reflecting this last week. I remember when I was a kid thinking that year 2000 seemed like a long way away. And now we're 2022.
Do you know what I love?
Crazy.
I love whenever you watch movies and it's like, they're older movies, and it says, you know, in 2020 we'll have like robots.
Yeah, it's like Back to the Future. When was that set? Oh, the first one of them was set. Anyway,
funny, isn't it?
The second Back to the Future, whichever one it was. They off were on not... a tangent already, yeah. Per tradition.
Yeah.
So this podcast is ostensibly about the Motto-verse sermon that Dave brought for us on Sunday, Galatians 2:20. But before we get to Sunday's message, Dave, a two-part question for you about New Year's resolutions. So first part, do you believe in making them? Second part, if you do, any that you have this year that you'd be happy to share?
Good question. I think in the past I would have said I don't believe in making them because I never actually managed to keep them. But last year I actually kept one. I wanted to average 10,000 steps a day for the year.
Yeah.
And I actually managed that. And I was pretty chuffed to manage to do that. I think it's funny looking back on how, you know, it's just a small change, whether it's it was getting up an hour earlier or making sure if I was on the phone, you know, walk and talk with someone. So I do believe in making them now, but I suppose it's because I've realized that whenever I try to do, like, my New Year's resolution is to learn the French language. Like, that's not manageable, is it?
So, not for me, it's not.
No, so I'm making my New Year's resolutions more manageable. So this year, my New Year's resolution is to go back to doing my Bible in a year.
Yeah.
You know, last year I got out of the habit once I finished and it was just reading random books. I find reading the whole Bible with a wee plan, like Gospel Coalition have done a plan that I'm following, it just helps me get an idea of the breadth of God's word and how it all interconnects. And actually with this Gospel Coalition plan, it does the New Testament and Psalms twice and the Old Testament once, which is pretty good.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, even as I say that, in case people think, wow, read the whole Bible in a year, that's class, you know, I'm already behind.
Well, actually, funny enough, my resolution is the same. My resolution is not quite a stronger one as yours, because I want to go back to doing the Bible in a year. In one sense, in that on my Olive Tree app, I've got Bible in a year. But the nice thing about it is it doesn't tie it down to a particular date. So if I fall behind for a few days, I can just get back in, slot back in where I was.
I see.
And I find it very helpful because that's app-based. Basically, yeah, I didn't last year.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get back to that this year. Good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get to the motto verse, Galatians 2:20. You started your sermon Sunday reminding us of the three main heads for our vision for the next few years: spiritual growth, conversion growth, and community impact. So putting you on the spot, which one of those is, I mean, hopefully they're all getting you fired up, Dave.
Yeah.
But which one of those is getting you fired up most, has grabbed you the most? Spiritual growth, conversion growth, community impact, which would you say?
This is probably a bit of a politician's answer in that all three of them do get me fired up because they're all intertwined.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we spiritually grow, that will inevitably impact our community and will lead to people sharing their faith more, which, you know, we trust in God's sovereignty that he'll do what he wants to do. So and then as we see people come to know Christ for the first time, that will lead us to grow spiritually as, you know, mature Christians, disciple new Christians, and so on and so forth. I think naturally we all get most excited, don't we, about conversion growth. So the Passion for Life stuff that we have been doing has been really good, and you know, there's always a tremendous amount of energy and enthusiasm is generated whenever we see new life in a church. But I suppose, you know, at the start of a new year, when there's so many good intentions, the key is that there's positive emotions that I feel about that being fired up,
yeah,
then follows through into actually doing something. And I suppose, you know, we say, oh, we're so excited to see people grow or, you know, come to faith from the community. But I am encouraged by Christians plodding on.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Through the mud and the mire and the ups and the downs of sickness, work stress, whatever it may be. Mm. Like, I do get fired up seeing people faithfully following Jesus day to day. Yeah. I don't know. What about you, Matt?
Good answer, brother. I'm not going to give quite as much of a politician's answer as you did, Dave.
Yeah.
Really important point you make, that they're intertwined. I think the one about conversion growth, and just I'm excited afresh, and I think God's given me a bit more faith to trust that we will see conversion growth.
Yeah.
Little things like, my neighbor who's come along to stuff off the back of Passion for Life. I thought, no, I'm going to make a real effort to invite him. He came along to stuff. He's coming along again this Sunday. And just believing that God is going to work there. When you see those little signs of God being at work, potentially, then I think that really encourages you, gets you excited. And the Passion for Life stuff has really helped. Incidentally, I should say that we're getting back to Passion for Life. We haven't exactly decided yet. We're trying to figure out this week what life groups are going to look like.
Yeah.
They're starting a bit late this year, which is helpful in one way. So next week, we're meeting with life group leaders. The week after that, life groups themselves start. But I'm really looking forward to, however we're going to do it, to getting back to the Passion for Life stuff, because that's stirred me up to believe that we're going to see conversion growth and trust God for that.
It feels like the new year sort of rushed up on us, hasn't it? Because all of a sudden, whenever I'm being asked questions about life groups and stuff, sure, like, oh, I feel like we just paused, and now, I don't know.
It's been one of the areas where we as elders, and I saw you as a church, have had to learn real patience, because you try and make your plans, and then the goalposts shift, don't they? That's been happening a lot the last 2 years, but we keep planning and we keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And we're going to find a way of doing it, whatever happens. So really looking forward to that. So anyway, let's get to the Galatians 2:20 proper, which was my baptismal verse, by the way. So I've got particular affection for it. Can
from
you tell us
when you were a baby?
No, Dave. No, from when I came to faith and expressed that faith through going through the waters of believer's baptism.
I just thought it would be funny.
We're going to have an argument off air now after this. Can you tell us a bit more about how the Lord drew you to that verse? So I love it for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
What drew you there?
You know, you only told me after the service on Sunday that was your baptism.
I didn't want to put too much pressure on you beforehand.
I'm glad. I think... You know, part of it was the, as we were doing Passion for Life stuff, we were thinking a lot about spiritual life and newness of life.
Mm.
So I was thinking a lot about, I was talking to you as well, about life. So, you know, passages like John 10:10, that Jesus came to bring us life and life in all its fullness. I was like, oh, that has life in it. But I think basically after reading through my Bible a bit, thinking and praying around that, sort of the vision of our church, you know, community impact, spiritual growth, conversion growth, it felt like Galatians 2:20, I mean, the whole Bible covers all those things, doesn't it? But 2:20 covered a lot of those bases as we die to our old ways, live in the newness of life that we have in Christ. I felt like it did cover a lot of those bases. And I actually think as well, I spent, you told me earlier, 78 minutes on the context. I did think that context really helpful too, because it sort of covers the younger Christian and the more mature Christian who's been living a long life in Christ. You know, young and old need to think about living and dying in Jesus daily. So I felt like it was sort of a one size fits all verse. And you know, as well, if we were being much more charismatic about it, I'd say that the Lord led me in that direction. Yeah. And once I read it, it just kept coming up in my prayers and in my thoughts and then just my conversations. I was like, oh, this is just in my mind a lot, and I can't get rid of it. So I think that was what it was essentially. And I talked to some of the elders about it as well, and they seemed to think that was a helpful verse.
Yeah, nice. And I think that's our experience as Christians, isn't it? We often find that the Lord, through circumstances and in different ways, primarily through his word itself, but he does lead us and guide us.
Yeah.
And draw us to things, doesn't he? We believe that happens.
Yeah.
So getting into the three headings, I thought I'd mention all three during the podcast this morning. That the first one, nice catchy way to phrase it, this year, live because you died. Can you say a bit more to help us get our heads around the twin ideas here? That one idea is that we're dead. You said the old Dave is dead and gone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a putting to death of sin that needs to happen, a crucifying of the flesh, like Paul says later in Galatians, or putting off the old self, as he says in Ephesians. So those two ideas, we're dead, but then we need to be putting stuff to death and putting off the old self. How do those two parts of the equation fit, if you like? If the old me is dead, why do I need to keep battling sin and keep putting off the old self?
I think it's really hard, because even before we're talking about this, we talked about Ephesians 2 and how we're dead in our sins and transgressions. And then some there is talking about, you know, we spiritually die in Christ. So I suppose there's a lot of imagery in the Bible around this, which is why it can be quite confusing. I'm going to go all over the place here, feel that. But I suppose whenever, I know it's not the same imagery, but whenever God rescues the Israelites from Egypt, he saves them from slavery, from death. And then once they're out of Egypt, God then has to spend lots of time getting Egypt out of them.
Yeah, oh, that's helpful, actually. Yeah,
so
that's good.
Although we're now spiritually alive in Christ, there's still, you know, the old dead parts in us that he's working out of us day by day until we get the glory. Mm. I think Romans 6:13, well, Romans generally is very helpful on all this, isn't it? Romans 6:13, where it says, present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members, you know, arms, legs, and tongues, to God as instruments for righteousness. So I think instruments for righteousness is another way of saying, you know, this is the way you show that Christ lives, you know, in you, and that you're living for a new master, not the old ways. So, you know, we show that we have died spiritually by living a life that is different from the old things we used to do.
Yeah.
So I suppose as we think about that, the encouraging, maybe discouraging thing is that we're going to be fighting that until we go to glory. Mm. You know, our sanctification is only complete once we're with the Lord Jesus. I don't know if this works, so you can tell me if it doesn't. But John Owen famously said, you know, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. That's the Christian's duty every day, is trying to put off the old self. Yeah. Is the reverse of this be living in the Spirit because the Spirit lives in you? I don't think it's the reverse. But that's
a compliment to it. Yeah, I think it is.
So
yeah, that works.
Since we've died in Jesus, since we've died to our old self, now live because the Spirit lives in you. Suppose every part of it is every day, you know, that's the Christian's great duty, is to put away the old things and put on the new things.
Yeah.
Because if we believe what the Bible says, that's the best way to live. Mm. That's the way we were made to live, actually.
Yeah. That really helps. I think that really helps me, yeah. Because I think we understand that when you come across these things that seem a bit paradoxical, it's often the case, isn't it? When you zoom out a bit and then start, like you've been doing for us just now, you start looking at the shape of our salvation, how God works our salvation, it starts to make more sense. So we've been justified, that's done, but we're being sanctified. Or we've been made new, we're new creatures in Christ, and yet we're not glorified yet, we've got to keep working out our salvation. Then it starts to make more sense, doesn't it, when you look at the bigger picture of our salvation. And that's what I think that's what you've just done. That's really, really helpful. So that was our first heading. Spent the whole podcast on just one of these. Yeah. But moving on to the second one, this year, live by faith. What I loved there was you went through an amazing list, not an exhaustive list, but a list of things that Christians believe and how that links to us living by faith, that we need to say these things to ourselves aloud and have them transform our lives. And you kept asking, in light of them all, how then should we live? So to give a selection, you said, the Bible is our authority. How then should we live? Suffering doesn't compare to glory. How then should we live? God hears our prayers, etc. So how about picking up on a couple of those and say more about them? You're obviously passionate about them, but any in particular that you'd want to say this morning? Yeah, I want to say a bit more about that one.
Before I answer this question, I said we list, and I'm very conscious. My mum and dad were home. Yeah. Whenever I spend time with Northern Irish people, I get more Northern Irish. Did I sound particularly Northern Irish?
No, not particularly. Or I would just say that occasionally members of my family do now refer to things as we. Instead of calling them little, they now call them we. So it's rubbing off.
I think
everybody gets that now, Dave. You're indoctrinating us.
Okay. So that actually answered the question. I think... So, for example, the Bible is our authority. You know, whenever you come to do your morning quiet time of reading God's Word, just to think about, like, this is not just a self-help book or motivational quotes.
Mm.
These are the very words of God, and they can and will transform our lives if we live them out. I just think that it has massive implications, because if we, you know, it sort of jumps into another one of them, but I said about, you know, we believe as Christians it's more blessed to give than to receive. Imagine, you know, imagine your Christmas if you actually believe that and you gave more. I mean, as parents, you definitely do that with your kids, don't you? But, you know, to your neighbors, to your community, whoever it may be, if you believe that the Bible's my authority, therefore it's more blessed to give than to receive, that would be insane, wouldn't it? But if these are God's words and that's true, then it's better for us to do that, because God will bless us. And I'm not saying materially or whatever, but there's a sense of which some way God mysteriously will make our lives better for doing that. Whether that means we feel more close to Him, whether that means, you know, we'll see more fruit in our vans, whatever it may be.
But just jump in. I'm glad you started with that one too, because I was thinking, as I was reading through that list again, and it goes back to going back to doing Bible in a year. This is why we read our Bibles every day, because the other things you listed, suffering doesn't compare to glory, God hears our prayers, better to obey God than be friends with the world. We don't know those things.
Unless the Bible's our authority. Yeah.
So it's got to start there, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we... malfunction.
Yeah.
I suppose that's why I think I started off with the Bible being our authority, because everything we find, if the Bible isn't God's word, then none of these things are true.
Mm.
You know, if it's, you know, when some people say, oh, well, you know, it's men wrote it down and, you know, there's elements of divine stuff. If it's not all of God, it's none of it's of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think as well, that sort of idea, it's better to obey God than be friends with the world. That is so countercultural to actually just stand in the face of opposition and say, it's one of the reformers, wasn't it? You know, here I stand.
Yeah.
And just think, gosh, if people saw that, you know, they may not like me, but they'd respect the fact that you really have deep-seated convictions.
Mm.
So I suppose why I didn't develop it more in the sermon was I want people to think, how does this affect me in my, you know, because sometimes on Sundays we do that, we really spell it out for people, application, but sometimes it's helpful for you to think, in my specific context, this is where the Spirit is pressing on me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I did How Then Should We Live. It should be totally different.
Got me thinking about, yeah, that list got me going away and reflecting. So yeah, thanks for that, Dave. The last heading then, and so in one sense, the loveliest one, and what a place to finish. So this year, live because you have the greatest reason to. And if I'm understanding what you're saying, right, you're saying the greatest reason to is that Christ has loved us and given himself for us, that Jesus loves me. And I feel that one of our biggest problems, one of our biggest struggles as Christians is to actually experience this reality. Sometimes we know it's true intellectually, but to experience it is different. So a bit of a tough question for you to finish with. How can we come to see and experience more and more how much Jesus has loved us, and how can we have that transform our lives? You know, you mentioned reading the verse. I thought this was really helpful, and putting our name there. I thought it was fantastic. Any other tips? How else can we grow in knowing and experiencing that Jesus loved us this much?
Do you ever feel like you just end up saying the same things over and over?
Yeah, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
I suppose, if you know, to nuance some of the same things of like reading your Bible and praying and stuff like that, I suppose the ways you can remind yourself that Jesus loved you and gave himself for you would be things like, you know, singing songs, not just on a Sunday. You know, if you actually, this sounds really, maybe it's cheesy or tacky, I don't know, if you went on to your Spotify or, you know, there's other music platforms available, if you just got a load of songs that talked about, you know, God's love for us in Christ and just had that as a playlist and listened to it, that would get your mind thinking about how much the Lord Jesus loves you. I think if you had a, you know, a prayer partner, prayer triplet, whatever it is, and, you know, texting them saying, do you want today for you too, I'm praying that you would know Jesus' love for you in a real specific way. Could you pray that for me? You know,
that's
good. As far as being, you know, it's the same old things of read your Bible, pray, live the life.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because often when people hear that, and when sometimes maybe when we say it, what we're saying is read your Bible, pray every day, get yourself more in God's favor. Of course, isn't the case. It's the opposite of what you're saying right now. Read your Bible, pray every day.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the ways that the love of God finds its way into your heart and life. Your experience of the love of God finds its way into your life.
Yeah, it's the means of grace, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I suppose often we have these mountaintop experiences, don't we, when we go to camps, conferences, mission trips, whatever it may be. And of course, you know, people would say, oh, it's because you've gone away, blah, blah, blah. But it's because in those moments, in those weeks, wherever it may be, you're listening to God's word. You're praying with other people, you're singing, you know, you're doing all those things.
Yeah.
It's just the dial's turned up. So why would you not want to be exposing yourself to that more and more? I suppose that sort of put your name in the verse. You know, obviously there's times when it's not, you know, don't put your name where Jesus' name is. You know, that would be foolish. But, you know, there's times when you can, you know, Paul's writing, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Say, while Dave was still a sinner, Christ, you know, it's quite powerful.
It is.
Just to reflect on that. And then as you reflect personally, then go, while the Bridge Church were still sinners, Christ died for his bride. You know, that you can, because it can become very individual, can't it? But whenever you make it corporate or it is powerful to think bigger than just yourself as well.
Yeah, it is. Well, I speaking for myself, Dave, very grateful for that message, because one of the things it's done for me is brought from sort of the back of my mind a little to the front of my mind, that verse that's meant so much to me for so many years now. And I'm certainly going to be reciting that regularly and inserting my name in there. And I hope the rest of the congregation have found it equally helpful. Look forward to seeing you Sunday for the start of our new series on 1 Thessalonians.
Yeah, we will have those three scripture journals by Sunday, won't we?
So, brilliant.
We'll be we're allowed to hand those out, aren't we? Oh, yeah. People can pick them up
people
on the way
in. That's fine. And we can arrange to get them to you in the week if you're not there on Sunday morning. So let us know. But it'll be great to just get into another Bible book. And I think we're going to find it links to all sorts of things, but particularly there are going to be obvious links with Passion for Life.
Yeah.
So really looking forward to getting into that this term. So thanks for spending the time with us, and we'll see you on Sunday. God bless.
Bye-bye.